the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Two words that go together in common parlance, feminism and abortion. The two have become inextricably linked together, especially in the mind of many left-leaning feminists. Is it possible to be a feminist, to be pro-woman without being pro-choice? Joining us to talk about feminism and abortion here on the heels of the 39th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, Sarah Foster, president of Feminists for Life based in Washington, D.C. Sarah, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's so great to be back. Thank you so much.
Is it possible? I mean, we hear all the time that it isn't, but is it possible to be pro-woman without being pro-choice?
Absolutely. The first feminists in America believed in the rights of slaves to be free, the rights of women to vote, and they believed in the rights of every human being and the worth of every human being, and that included the rights of the unborn to be born. And Feminists for Life proudly continues their legacy. We have people like Susan B. Anthony to look up to and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, all the feminist foremothers that Feminists for Life writes about on our website. We have documented their pro-life beliefs. And Susan B. Anthony urged us to look at the root causes that drive women to abortion. Elizabeth Cady Stanton was a mother herself and celebrated the birth of her children. Alice Paul, the woman who wrote the Equal Rights Amendment, called abortion the ultimate exploitation of women. So we stand on firm ground because not only these courageous women, the first feminists, spoke out for the rights of women and for the rights of the unborn, but also because we know that the basic tenets of feminism include nonviolence, non-discrimination, and justice for all. And when you cry out for equality, what we have to understand as a country, as a nation, and as a world is that all people are equal. All choices are not.
Is it enough to make the case that the original feminists were, in fact, pro-life? Is it also important to make the case that here and today that abortion is not good for women, period?
40 years now, we have, almost 40 years, we have had this experiment on women. It's actually been 40 years since Sarah Weddington first argued Roe on the basis that women should be able to have an abortion because their world did not support them, whether they were poor or whether they were in the workplace or they were in college, that they should be able to have an abortion. And we believe that all of our arguments violated the basic tenets of feminism, of non-discrimination, of equality for everyone. But it also underestimated the belief that women have strength of themselves, and that in society there are people who are willing to help her unconditionally and love her, even if those that are around her, those she counts on the most, have let her down. So it doesn't matter whether it's a century or two centuries ago or today, the basic tenets of feminism remain, and abortion betrays women. Women have died from legal but lethal abortion. Who mourns for them? Feminists for Life does, and maybe a few other groups, but, you know, for the most part, those who say that they support abortion and they support women do not, you know, say anything about the women who've died from illegal abortion, either a bitter pill that they call choice, like RE46, where women have died, or from being butchered. I mean, that nobody seems to care about these women, as well as the unborn children, I mean, millions and millions of children that we will never know. But this generation, 39 years, everybody who is 39 years or younger, they've never known a day without legal protection from abortion. And so we know now, 39 years later, that this has been a terrible experiment against women. It's been a huge failure, and that it's let down the most vulnerable people in society. And we have been saying, it's your body, it's your choice, and they know the truth, that it's their problem. It's their problem, and people have let them down. Women feel they have to have an abortion because they feel that it is about not inconveniencing those around them. We've got to send it a better message. We've got to say that women deserve better than abortion. Women deserve resources and support.
You mentioned a moment ago Sarah Weddington arguing the Roe case, and you've actually, I've heard this, and it is kind of shocking to hear it just argued there in the echoey chamber of the Supreme Court. But you have audio on your website of the actual Roe arguments being made. Why is it important that even non-legal scholars who may not be able to sift through all of it listen to what was actually being argued before the court in favor of abortion back in the early 70s?
It is so hard for me as a feminist to listen to Sarah Weddington speak about women in the way, in the manner that she does, and call herself a feminist, because you have to hear. You have to hear it for yourself. Go to Feminist for Life's YouTube channel and hear for yourself this woman talking the way she does about abortion, because people will not support those who are poor. What she's saying is not only that we underestimate her, but we underestimate the society that we will not help the poor. It's about the way she underestimates the employers, as if the employers will never accommodate working mothers or working fathers. That she accepts the basic premise of pregnancy discrimination, that, you know, women who are going to lose their jobs or not be able to come back to a job. It is absolutely chilling that if people actually knew this, or knew about the founders of NARAL and how they persuaded the women's movement to accept abortion on the basis that women needed to be able to compete in the workplace as men, that if they wanted to be hired or paid or promoted as a man, that they have to accept abortion as a ticket to the workplace. And if you understand where this comes from, you're going to reject this. It makes absolutely no sense in this day and age to accept pregnancy discrimination or a lack of support for women in the workplace or fathers in the workplace or birth mothers in the workplace or in school. You know, we have married parents in school right now. Do you know who's having abortions more than anybody else right now besides the poor and the working poor? Women who already have children, born children. 61% of all abortions are being performed on women who already have one or more born children. I mean, there is what has happened in this country is such an incredible shame that we have made women feel that we have to let them shoulder the burden of having children entirely themselves, and if they can't figure it out, that there's nobody to turn to except for Planned Parenthood, giving them $300 or an abortion clinic, cleaning out their womb, returning them to the same situation, whether it's domestic violence or an employer who won't accommodate or a school who won't accept them for being a mother. I mean, it absolutely makes no sense in this century that this is how we would treat women who are pregnant.
What is the best
parents?
What's the best way, Saren, to break what appears to be this inextricable link between being pro-woman and being pro-choice? What's the best way to show people that you can be pro-life and that you can be in favor of protecting the unborn and not have to compromise your positions about equal rights for women?
Well, we certainly invite everyone, and this includes men, to join Feminists for Life, to be a part of this movement, to espouse the feminist principles of nonviolence, non-discrimination, justice for all, to learn more about our rich history. Our feminist foremothers are as important as our forefathers. that we understand the basics, that we also understand that if a woman says that she's pregnant, we immediately respond by saying she deserves better than abortion, and knowing exactly where they can go in their own community for help, whether it is a pregnancy care center or a church or a supportive employer or a supportive counselor on a campus. We need to understand who is having abortions, where they can get help. We have to send a message of unconditional support. There are so many wonderful volunteers out there who are helping women unconditionally with great love, with great support from the pregnancy care centers especially. But there's other sources of outreach. To own feminism is to understand that we believe in equality, and equality means without exception. So I would absolutely say, first and foremost, join this group, but also join these efforts to help women who are in desperate need for help right now, especially with economic times the way they are. And don't think about it always being women who are not mothers or women who are only single, because the facts don't bear that out anymore. It is really about poverty issues and about domestic violence issues and sexual assault and lack of support within the workplace and the campus structure that is driving this debate. Driving women to abortion. 38% of college students who could get pregnant every year end up having an abortion. It is horrific. It's horrific. And we're doing our best to sit there and try to change the campus environment, to help connect students to housing, to child care, to, you know, the resources that they need right then, right there, but also transform the campus in a longer-term strategy, because if they understand that they can create a world that is supportive of a family and supportive of her and her children and supportive of dads and supportive of birth mothers, we're going to be so much farther down the road. We want to, like Susan B. Anthony, you know, urged us to do, systematically eliminate the root causes that drive women to abortion, because abortions are out. It's out on the internet now. The information is out there. How to have a self-induced abortion. You know, we are not here. I mean, as Robbie George is here, you know, and there's a lot of groups that are working against abortion and fighting it in the legal arena. We know that in countries where women are protected from abortion or not protected from abortion, this information is easily accessible, how to have a self-induced abortion. There are places to go for legal abortions, but that doesn't answer what the first question. Why is she seeking an abortion? And if 75% of women who have abortions say they don't have what they need, either resources from the people they count on the most or practical resources of their own, then our job, our challenge is to answer that question. We could dramatically reduce the numbers of abortion by helping women believe in themselves and connecting them to the people who can help them go through the maze of resources, get those diapers, get the maternity clothes, get the bedding, get all those practical resources that she needs and help her go through the maze of services, and have somebody who stands by her and says, "We love you unconditionally." That's what a pro-life feminist does. That's what a feminist does.
Folks, we will have a link to Feminists for Life under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Saren Foster is president of Feminists for Life, based in Washington, D.C. Saren, thank you again.
Todd, thank you so much. And for all your listeners who do so much for those who don't have people to stand up for them, thank you for cheering them on and being there when it counts the most.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend the remainder of this Monday afternoon, January the 23rd, talking about a book that's come out recently from a Harvard professor, Steven Pinker. He's arguing that while in the past religion was a major source of violence in the world, the reason violence has been on the downslope is because religion has become more humanized. We'll talk about Enlightenment Humanism and the book The Better Angels of Our Nature with Dr. Angus Manoj after this. You can call it what you like.